Have you felt the presence of God? I've been blessed to worship God. That's what it's all about, right? She came to evangelistic meetings in her mid-20s. She was a woman of the world, happy, excited, and yet when she came to learn about Jesus, her life changed. She started attending church. She came to baptismal classes and attending Sabbath school and church services. And she said, I want to be baptized. So I said, okay, let me come and visit you. She had a baby with her, so I knew that she had more to her family. And I said, let me come and visit you and your husband. I said, okay. So I came to her house. Baptism was planned the following Sabbath. I knew she believed everything. She was ready. When I got to her house, I discovered that her husband was not her husband. Depends on how you calculate it. He grew up Seventh-day Adventist. And he started telling a story. Grew up Seventh-day Adventist. Grew up in an Adventist ghetto. Attended Adventist elementary school, Adventist secondary school. And as soon as he was free, he ran away. He did not want to go to church. He did not want Seventh-day Adventist. He did not want the Bible. Did not want God. And he found a girlfriend that would make sure he would never go to church. And when I visited with him, he said to me, Pastor, God has a sense of humor because I was sure she would never bring me to church. They were not married. She had asked for baptism. Baptism was coming up in 5 days. I said, I'm happy to baptize you. Let's go to church to baptize you. She was baptized. She's part of church. Some of my saints were furious. Furious. Criticism echoed through the hall. They were whispered from person to person. How dare you baptize someone who's living in sin? Another time, teenagers were planning a special New Year's Eve service or a Sabbath on New Year's Eve. They practiced and they practiced and they practiced and rehearsed and they got ready and they had the sermon on Sabbath morning. Not a word was spoken. 25 minutes, they presented the story of creation, the fall, the struggle, the great controversy, the cross, the resurrection, and the hope that we have. Not a word was spoken and not an eye was dry in the congregation. And sure enough, shortly after that, knock on my door in the office, said, Pastor, how dare you have drama in church? Don't you know that's prohibited? You can't do that. It's not supposed to be in church. And what's interesting is that whenever people come and criticize me for something that happens in church, it is always the ones that have the aura of righteousness, the ones that present themselves as holy. They hold the Bible. They know what the Bible says. They're always in church. They never miss. Always pay tithe. And they remind me of a couple that came one time in church. They were deacons and deaconesses, and they were in church early. One Sabbath morning when I opened the church door, they were already there in the front, kneeling down in front of the altar. What's going on? What's happening? And they did this every Sabbath. Finally, the word came out, yeah, the church is falling apart. We have to pray to save the church. They were righteous and we were not worthy of being in God's presence. Reminded me of some religious right groups that go around with signs denouncing others because they are pro-life and pro-marriage but forget to worship God in spirit and truth. What is it that matters? What is the core? Why are we called? Why are you studying in the seminary? Why am I a pastor? Yes, Revelation 12, 17 says, the dragon is enraged at those that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And I believe that represents the Seventh-day Adventist church. The devil is angry. And so we keep the commandments. We do what is right. What do the commandments say? Let's look at them. Do you have your Bibles? You know them, I'm sure. But Exodus 20, I'm the Lord your God. Have no other gods than me. We check that one off. You should not worship idols, right? There are no idols here, so we're good. Don't misuse the name. We check that off. Remember the Sabbath. We remember that one. Honor your father and mother. Not murder. Not commit adultery. Not steal. Not lie. Not covet. That last one might be a challenge once in a while, but not really. We check them all off. We're good. But yet, that is not the point. Because Jesus, in Matthew 5, 6, 7, takes Exodus 20 and has a sermon, preaches on this passage. And he says, wait a minute, it's not just thou shalt not murder, it's not get angry. How many have never gotten angry? I think we failed there a little bit. It's no longer don't commit adultery, but don't, men, don't lust in your eyes. And women, don't look at all those romantic novels. And I think we kind of flunked the test again. In Mark 12, teacher of the law comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what commandment is the best one? What's the most important one? And I love this because in this story, Jesus gives the answer. And Jesus says, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the commandment. How do you love God? How do you love your neighbor? Well, the Ten Commandments give us the foundation, the ABCs. That's where you start. That's where you begin. But it goes way beyond that. In fact, John writes in 1 John 4, he who does not love does not know God, because God is. That is the commandment. What is the Ten Commandments? Singular. God is love. How do you love? Philippians 4, Jesus says, let your gentleness be known to all. Are you gentle? You see, the Bible has very few rules. We make the rules. Yeah, the Bible says on the Sabbath, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath. Thou shalt not do your own pleasure on the Sabbath. I think we fail on that one, right? We like to go on Sabbath and say, oh, we don't work on the Sabbath, but we do our own pleasure on Sabbath. If you're a nurse or if you're a doctor, yeah, you can work on the Sabbath, or a pastor. And I know some nurses that seek out only weekend jobs. 3 days a week and get paid full time. And then we criticize air traffic controllers for working on the Sabbath. How many have ever flown on a Sabbath or close to the Sabbath? How many get upset when the power goes out on the Sabbath that you can't cook the meal? And you want someone to go out and fix electricity? What are we thinking? What are the rules? Do you know that most of our rules, where they come from? They don't come from the scriptures. Rules on adornment come from Queen Victoria and industrialization. Check the history. Rules on how to keep the Sabbath, they come from Methodists and other early Sunday keepers. Rules on dress and hemline, check secular history. You'll find all the rules there. We take them and say, oh, that's scripture. Then we hold on to them when everybody else moves on. What is church about? What are we about? The Bible gives us plenty of principles about how to keep the Sabbath. The first day that Adam and Eve had together as a married couple was Sabbath. That was their honeymoon. Sabbath is a day of families, day of nature, day of celebrating creation, celebrating the promises, a day to remember salvation, day to serve others. How often do pastors forget to rest on the Sabbath? We work all the way to the end. I love this rule. You can't cook on the Sabbath. Ever heard that one? He was a bouncer at a nightclub. He came to our meetings, became Seventh-day Adventist, and he was on fire. He loved Jesus. He was so excited. He was single. He was in his 50s. Bad life. And he came and he fell in love with Jesus. He came to church and we had a business meeting. And at the business meeting, he stood up and said, church, why don't we have pancake breakfast every Sabbath morning before Sabbath school? I will cook, invite those who want to come, especially those who are single. There was a spark in his life. He was excited. One of my elders stood up We don't cook on the Sabbath. And he sat down. And you could see the fire die in his eyes. And I wish I had remembered the one story where Jesus comes with Peter and disciples into Peter's home and his mother-in-law is sick. And Jesus heals her so that she can do what? Cook on the Sabbath. And we had a rule, you can't cook on a Sabbath. Within a month, that man was gone, the bouncer was gone, back to bouncing. Killed him because of our rules. See, God is love. God gave us Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we might learn all the rules. God gave us Son because he loves us. He loves you. Look at Abraham. 99 years of age, he goes and sees King Abimelech and tells him, oh, that's my sister. He's a liar, has a long nose. And one night, God comes to Abimelech in a dream and says, Abimelech, I'm about to kill you. And Abimelech says, why? What have I done? Because you have taken another man's wife as your wife. And Abimelech says, I didn't know, he lied to me. And God said, I know he lied to you, that's why I haven't killed you yet. He is my prophet. Return the wife to him. A liar. And God says, he is my prophet. Think about the sons of Jacob. When Shechem, son of Hamor, falls in love with Dinah. And says, oh, please, can we become one family? And the brothers are furious, but they have a smile and negotiate. They say, yeah, let's negotiate. We'll become one family. Circumcise every male, and they go ahead and do that. And when they are sore, they come in deliberately and they kill everyone. Genocide. They should be on death row, killed every one of them. And God calls them as his and names the city gates by their name. The city gates of New Jerusalem bear their names. David kills a man, takes his wife, and God says, a man after my heart. Peter curses and swears and rejects Jesus repeatedly. And Jesus goes to him and says, Peter, you go and feed my sheep. God is love. The Ten Commandments is love. The greatest gift of the Spirit, the one that is above every gift, the one that we are to seek above every other gift, is love. We are called to show the same Spirit, to preach the same word with the same explosive acceptance, bringing people into a healing relationship with God. That is the calling of ministry. God sent Jesus to teach us his commandments, which is God is love. And Jesus walked deliberately, recklessly, alone, abandoned, scorning the shame all the way to the cross. Because he loves you and he wants you to understand what love is. This is the primary work of a pastor. To stay connected with God. You can't hold on to God, but God holds on to you. Isn't that good news? Believe me, you will make mistakes. There will be times you stand in the pulpit and say, what am I doing here? But God does not let go. And so when he holds you, you grab hold of other people and say, this is God. Let me show you what God's love does. I have tasted his love, so come. The conclusion of the whole matter is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. And we go to the Ten Commandments. No, wait a minute. God is love. That is the Ten Commandments. It is time that Seventh-day Adventist Church has become known as the most loving place in town. the one place where people are more accepted than at the bar. The one place where people can come, not just one time, but keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, like God did with Abram until he was 99 years of age. And God said, still, he is my prophet. Don't touch him. But it's going to be difficult. And what God needs are pastors, men and women, who dare to walk with Jesus, who are willing to follow Jesus, to walk alone, scorning criticism, with reckless abandon for self. To share God's love, to preach God's love, to move forward of conviction, of experience, no matter who criticizes you. But let me warn you, when you do, your job is on the line. And some of you will be fired for preaching God's love. You know what the greatest danger to the Seventh-day Adventist Church is today? It's my conviction. Pastors, church leaders, who preach and speak and verbally accept the gospel of grace, and then turn around and demand behavior by their members. Pastors and church leaders who preach and accept the gospel of grace, and then turn around and demand obedience to the traditions and rules of the church. Confusion. Babylon. People don't know what to do. And they walk away. The young people walk away. Rules and traditions will never change character. But God's love will change character, which in result leads to different behavior. Every one of these, well, I mentioned Abraham, sons of Jacob, David, Peter, and the characters of scriptures, they all changed. They changed because God loved them and God accepted them. And God said, come along with me. I want you in my kingdom. I remember one president, not here in Indiana, in my state, my conference. You know the rule that you are not supposed to marry someone of different faith to one who is a church member, right? Have you learned that yet in seminary? A good friend of mine, my age, he was a baptized Seventh-day Adventist. He was baptized as a young man. He fell in love with a young girl. He was a psychologist. He was a nurse. She was active, practicing Seventh-day Adventist. He was an open atheist. But they were members of the church. And the president said, yeah, I'll marry you, no problem. And he performed the ceremony with those two young people. He was an atheist. She was Seventh-day Adventist. But they were both baptized, so that was okay. Rules? Or, yeah, you know doctrine number 22, right? Number 22, you familiar with that? You go look it up. Repeatedly, pastors and church leaders will blatantly violate doctrine number 22, part of it, with reckless care for their own bodies. And then turn around and criticize a woman or a pastor for what they say on a doormat. And yet, doctrine number 22 makes it very clear that health and care for the body is expected of every Christian, while a doormat is cultural, not a question of right or wrong, but a question of culture. I was pulled in one time. I said, hey, wait a minute, what are you teaching? I'm ready to fire you on the spot here. Confusion. What are we teaching? What are we presenting? I want to make an appeal to you today. I'm assuming that all of you are either in ministry or planning to enter into ministry. I'm pretty sure that you believe this is God's word. The seventh day is the Sabbath. The Seventh-day Adventist is God's people at the very end of time, that Jesus is coming back very soon. Good. Great. But are you willing to preach and live the gospel of Jesus Christ with reckless abandon for self? Are you willing to preach and live the gospel of Jesus Christ with reckless abandon for self? Are you willing to dive deep in the ocean of God's love and swim in God's love and share that with others? That's why Jesus came. That is the Ten Commandments. And when we truly experience God's love, we will become one and Jesus will return. The question, will you be a pastor that speaks without care for self, walking to the cross, knowing that you may be sacrificed? But that's okay. Jesus is coming back. If you're willing, this is not for everyone, but I'm going to ask someone to stand up. If you're willing to commit yourself as a pastor, as a person, to preach the gospel of Jesus with reckless abandon of self, I'd like to invite you to stand for a prayer. Lord God, when we look in our own lives, we realize, I realize, I'm a benefactor of your love and your grace. I need it more than ever before. When we look around in the world, there are people that are hurting. There's healing that is needed, healing of the nations. And you see us stand here today. May we bring healing to the nations today, in our churches, in our homes, to those around us, here in the seminary as well. Please, bring healing through your grace, through your love, through us as we live for you. In Jesus' name.